This is Cruise Radio.
Now more than ever, you should consider trip insurance for any kind of trip you take, not just cruises. Get a free quote at tripinsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Victor and his wife just returned from a seven-night cruise aboard Norwegian Viva out of San Juan, Puerto Rico, and he joins us on the line to talk all about it. How you doing, my friend?
Pretty good, dog. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Excited to talk about this one. This is one of the ships that I sailed on the very first cruise, but it was one of the ones that I had to fly over to Europe to sail, and it was only a few days. I was super jet lagged. Then it was like a super port intensive, as most European cruises are. So it was all a blur to me. So I'm excited to talk to you and get your take on Norwegian Viva. So before we get to the ship itself, let's get some pre-cruise thoughts here. You live down in the Central Florida area, so you had to get down to San Juan, Puerto Rico. Did you do any pre-cruise time there before the sailing?
Yeah, we actually did. So the idea of the cruise came out because my wife and I had we have anniversary in November, so we purchased it around that time. So as a surprise for her, and then quietly I invited her best friend and her husband, so I can give her a surprise. So, and because it was San Juan, they live down there. We're born and raised in Puerto Rico, so we're Puerto Rican, so we have family. So we decided, hey, why not? So nice itinerary, brand new ship. We were looking for a new Norwegian ship so I can experience it. I have not been able to catch on the Prima. So I said, hey, Viva, brand new, awesome. Cannot be better. And so we jumped. We departed. We flew in Friday evening. And then we stayed Saturday with my family. I had my mom, my sister down there. So we actually did something a little bit different. We went and did a off-roading adventure, if you want to call it. Mm-hmm. My brother-in-law, he has a Bronco. He wants to play around. So he took us down to the south side of the island, which most people don't get to experience. It's a beautiful place. It's a little bit more dry. So you get those nice mountains and hills that you can go up, and they have these restaurants. There's a few adventures that they have, different restaurants. The adventure is going up in a 4x4 all the way through different trails, all the way to the top. And we had a nice afternoon drinking some mojitos, ate some food, and we had an amazing time looking at the Caribbean Sea. So if someone ever has that, can research on that, I highly recommend it. It's an amazing thing. Puerto Rico on the south side is beautiful.
Yeah, that's a great experience. Sounds awesome. And also for the husbands and wives listening together right now, you have probably created some household drama with the wife looking at the husband saying, why haven't you surprised me with this before?
I owed some points. That's why I'm making a point.
So that's fair. So it's time to embark Norwegian Viva. You get to the cruise pier. Which pier does Viva embark from? Is it that international pier or is it the other one?
It's the other one. I think they call it the Pan American. It's I think it's pier number 9. It's on the other side, right beside the original airport. Not the big one, the international, but the airport that you see whenever you're in San Juan, in Old San Juan. Mm-hmm. You see little planes coming in that area right there.
Okay. So you go to embark the ship. How was the embarkation there? Because I'm trying to think. I've sailed out of those terminals a couple of times, I believe on Royal Caribbean. How were those terminals set up? Like, are they actual normal cruise terminals, or are they more like, I don't know, like just a warehouse facility kind of converted to a cruise embarkation point?
It is a warehouse converted, but actually I was surprised how I was. My wife and I, we just told our, let's take us early, because it's just one way in, way out Puerto Rico. There's, it's like Miami, there's always traffic jam. So we decided, hey, so let's head to the pier early. Our embarkation time was 1 p.m. We already made it at 11:30 and it was almost empty. So I said, oh wow, what's going on? So we just drove, got drop off, little tent. It is a warehouse, but they have it quartered out. They have tents. They have lots of people. I actually was surprised. Would identify with the NCO logo shirts, directing you. Security was a breeze. Mm-hmm. Porters were like 2 minutes. Since we got dropped off to the ship, it was probably 50 minutes. It's pretty interesting because you don't walk through the gangway. Has been the first time in embarkation. other than on a port call, that do you embark from the pier? Actually, no gangway, no jet bridge, or how they call it.
Yeah.
Like in Port Canaveral, so you kind of see all the movement. Literally, you pass right next all the movement of forklift and stuff and food, and so you kind of see that dynamic, how they unload and load the ship. It was kind of neat. I'm a nerd.
It is cool watching the forklifts fly by you with the luggage and all that stuff. And it just, what's such organized chaos, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So when you walk on board, I know it's not, because you're embarking on the ground level there, it's really not the best of the first impression of the ship because you're kind of below deck. But once you made your way up to that atrium area, what were your impressions of Norwegian Viva?
I actually have to tell you, right when you walked in through the gangway to deck number 4, it hits you. The elevators, that lobby, it's just beautiful. The details on the, they have like a, I don't know, like an infinity mirror, one of those that have lights, and you see like eternal. Awesome place to do Instagram photos. So right away, the ship just takes you in with the color palettes. When you go up to that atrium, it's one of the most, it's beautiful. Actually, I'm impressed. The previous cruise was the Scape, the Norwegian Scape, and comparing the Scape to this one, it's a whole different experience. It's a whole different ballgame. You see that atrium, it's a little bit small to what you may expect from a ship so big, but it makes it, on the other side, intimate. And there's no, they broke up with all conventions. They broke off with all that glass stairs. There's no glass stairs. Everything is like extremely covered with earthy materials. You touch them. It's very, very different. One of the biggest things that I noticed was the boats. They managed finally to make them disappear. I don't know if you noticed when you were there, you don't see them ever. So deck 6 is where all the restaurants to aft, they are, and forward, they're shopping. Deck 7 is where almost everything tend to happen, movement and stuff. Deck 8 is that whole walking around boardwalk that they have. They call it, actually, deck 7 in my notes, deck 7. So depends on how you're feeling, depends how you want to do. If you don't want to be in the sun or you want to read a book and just have a nice conversation, you go to one side. If you want to have sun and you want to drink, you tend to go to the other side. So basically, they created 3 different pools, 3 different ambience in that whole setup, which is, I found it very interesting, very nice.
Yeah. It's certainly a departure from the Norwegian Encore in that previous class of ships. Also, when you're walking on board with the gangway there, it's nice not having like the loud rambunctiousness of like the local right there that has its own little separate area. So it's very, like you were saying, it's a serene atrium with some nice, like the whiskey bar and everything. It's just a really nice touch right there between 6, 7, and 8.
Oh, don't get me started with the whiskey bar. The best drinks. Oh, the best old fashioned. The best margarita, actually, uh-huh. Surprisingly, they make it on that. They made it on the whiskey bar. I highly recommend anybody. You have to stop by the whiskey bar. The crew in there, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I second that. So let's talk about the stateroom for this 7-night cruise. This was a nice little surprise you did. So what did you pull out of your hat for the stateroom for the 7 nights, and what did you think of it?
Again, dog, I was trying to accumulate points, so I didn't win that. You know, I use all my charm power. Just pulling this whole surprise off, right? So the cabin follows the same palette, the same ambience as the ship. So once you walk in, it's earthy colors, it's blue. They have a big long wallpaper mirror that takes the whole back wall of the ship, and they have LEDs running through it. It's a whole different lighting than what I'm used to from other ships that I've been in. And that gives an amazing first impression. Bathroom was great. The bathroom was, I think, one of the best I've been. They actually have an actual shower with a glass door. You can actually shower 2 people if you want. Super comfortable, super nice. It has little touches. Light underneath So you can, if something falls on the ground, you can pick it up. You can see it. My wife love it, so she can put on her makeup and stuff. The closet is interesting because they went away with the drawers. So now they have wired baskets concept. They have the closets divided in three. So my wife took one. I took the other one. The other one was for like coats or the long dress that she had and stuff. And we used that. But because we have packing cubes, it was kind of neat. You pull it out, they fit right there. But if you don't have packing cubes, you only can fit large stuff, jeans or because if you put underwear, you put something, it will fall through. And at least in our cabin, those things just came off. I had to adjust them and change them and fix them like three or four times because they just pull it. And I don't know if it was previous people who was in the cabin and that was not working right. But the closet works. It's nice. But they have that little quirkiness, which when you are organizing, it takes some time to getting used to. But there's no other storage space in the cabin other than maybe the two nightstands that are in there that have drawers and a little cubby hole, but there's no other storage space. So you have to make it up with what you have in there. Balcony, great. The chairs actually has been the best that I've had in any ship. They have padding. They have a nice comfy cushion, nice little table like always, but it's pretty comfortable, pretty nice. Especially that having that padding, it's nice to have a drink, sit down, and not feeling those rough materials that they make it from.
Very good. Sounds like a nice cabin you have there. So let's talk about the dining on Norwegian Viva. Where we'll start is at the buffet, because there's actually almost like two buffets on Norwegian Viva. Break that concept down for us.
So they have the main buffet, top deck always. I think it's deck 17. It's on the port side. It is your typical buffet, three stations and your whole, but it's a little bit small compared to the Skate and compared to other ships that I've been to. It's a bit small. What they do interestingly is they use the other spaces on the starboard side, the Paloma restaurant and the Food Republic restaurant seating area, and they then take that overflow of people. Hey, you go serve yourself. And there's people and there's crew members directing you to, hey, go sit on the Palomar or go sit outside or go sit on Food Republic. And that's all they do constantly so they can manage it. At the beginning, I found it weird. Why? This is kind of tight. But then you understand when at lunch or dinner, when it's not that full, then you understand why they did it. So they can still have the specialty dining on the same space and not take a whole floor or half the ship just for the buffet. Now, in deck 7, if I'm not mistaken, they have what is the indulge food hall. So the indulge food hall is a very nice concept. They have 10, I think it's 8 to 10 different kiosks, they call them, with different cuisines and different styles and different design. You have one is, they have even a trailer. They have a little section. They have a whole different setup, very beautiful ambiance. And you sit down, you put in a tablet, they give you a tablet, and you choose which venue do you want to order. And you have one is Indian food, the other one is noodles, the other one is Texas barbecue, the other one is tapas. And you keep ordering and ordering, and you get it, and you order in 5 to 10 minutes. A server comes in, there you go, this is yours. Bring it over, no questions asked, and off you go. And that's the other thing. There's indoor seating, and there's outdoor seating, which is great when you're in the Infinity Beach and the Infinity Pool. You can walk, dry yourself a bit, and sit down outside. You can tap you on your iPad, and they bring you the food. You guess, and you go back to whatever you were drinking. So we ate there 4 or 5 times. So we really, really liked it.
As far as the main dining hall, the main dining room goes, because Norwegian really doesn't have the main dining room concept. It's a whole freestyle thing. Did you get to dine in either the Commodore or the Normandy room back there at all?
Yes, we did the Commodore. We did the Hudson. It's the one they have. The Hudson, the staff was amazing. The staff was great in both of them. I cannot complain. The seating is comfortable. It's nice. Lighting is a little bit of a challenge, especially for my wife. She cannot see the menu. It's very dim. That's another thing about the ship. They play a lot with ambience lighting. So it's a little bit more intimate, if you want to call it. But the food was great. The menu is they still follow the same tradition of you have the same entrees every time. You got your classic the same appetizers. You got the classic entrees, and then they have the today's entrees, is what they call. And those are the rotating ones, 4 to 5 different entrees there, and then the desserts. About 25% of the menu is the only one that rotates, that changes daily. We did it 3 nights. So we did Hudson 2 nights and the Commodore 1. The Commodore is beautiful also, nice room, nice space. The staff was amazing. The lighting is better in the Commodore. So if you have issues also reading your menus, go to the Commodore. And yeah, same menu, same concept. The great thing about the Commodore, it's right next to the Belvedere Bar. I don't know if you had the opportunity of going there. Nice bar, beautiful, nice bar, big. It's the at night, it's the kind of like be seen kind of place. And everybody goes kind of, well, not fancy dressed, but everybody goes and sits, and there's a plenty of chair, plenty of seating. And it's like the it shares Belvedere Bar shares the entrance of the Commodore and of Cagnes. Mm-hmm. So it's the people, everybody that goes through Cagnes or go to Commodore has to pass to the Belvedere Bar. And of course, everybody stops and have a drink.
Okay, nice. How about specialty restaurants you may have dined at during the 7 nights?
First one we did is a teppanyaki. Hasuki, I think is the name. It has been one of the best teppanyakis. We have been the best rice that we have ever tried in one of the teppanyakis on any ship that we always do, because we always do teppanyaki when we do it. And it's great. The setup, the colors, the ambience, the chairs, the whole experience is very nice, and the food is amazing. It was interesting. We were able to see, first time I see it, how they trained the new chefs. They were they have on the back side chefs trying to spin all the tools and the utensils and you hear them clang clang and breaking, and just like, oh dang it, I didn't get that. So it was a nice interesting night. So the other one we did was the Le Bistro, French restaurants. Again, the core, great, amazing, humongous chandeliers they have there. The staff was amazing. It's not our cuisine. We just learned. We're not adventurous either, but we wanted to try something different. Not our cuisine. So we learned that one the hard way.
Very good. After Teppanyaki Place and Le Bistro, did you do any other specialty on there?
No, we didn't do any other because we wanted to try the main dining rooms. So no, we didn't try. And our offer was the free two dining packages included. The wife looked at the other options and said, you know what, maybe the Italian, but now let's go to the main restaurant. And that's it. And that's what we did.
Very nice. So let's talk about the entertainment then on this 7-night cruise. Did it live up to your expectations for all 7 nights?
So interesting. The entertainment was very interesting. The Viva Theater is great. Nice. Amazing setup. It's a theater they convert. It follows the new trend of multi-use room. So they pull all the stadium seating for the whole shows. And then it's disco, so they pull them back in, and it's a big dancing place. But they use all the lighting and sound from the production. So you have a nice party with humongous LED screens and lasers and you name it. So it is very nice. They have Beetlejuice, the musical. My wife's friend, she went to see it, and she said that was amazing. It was very good. We kind of glanced through some of the doors and we looked through it, and it looked very interesting. My wife is not, she's kind of like you, she's not the person that likes to sit through hour and a half of a musical. It's just, she's like, no. Live music, it was interesting. In this ship. I am not surprised because the Scape, they had a nice jazz band, a nice singer, and it's the one they play everywhere and they combine it. The band on this cruise, not saying they're bad, but they were not the greatest. At least me personally, as it seems like the ship or the staff that was in charge of setting up the audiovisual setup, it was not great. So you were here very basic, no hardly the voice. So that kind of affected the whole performance. And although the singer was good, but there was some key on some music, some songs that they kind of changed dramatically and didn't. And I don't know. It was to my liking. It was they were not bad, but I heard way better. Just that's my personal opinion.
How about other places around the ship? Comedy clubs, venues around the ship that may actually have live entertainment, piano, we'll say, or karaoke, anything.
Yeah, so there is the Metropolitan Bar. Metropolitan Bar is on deck 8, if I'm not mistaken, midship. Great space. That's the one with the big interactive screen. Nice bar. And very well bartenders. And they do have live performances. Those ones were good. Those are the guy with the guitar and singing by himself. And that was good. That I can tell you was good. Sid Norman is the space that they do like these live concerts, and the band's always is great. I don't remember the name of the band that performed that day, but they were performing some 1980s music, and it was amazing. Live, they were very good. The Improv is right across from Sid Norman, in the same deck, in the same Metropolitan deck. All that deck is like the entertainment deck. And they do in there everything else, the karaoke, the comedies, so any other thing that they get. It's a multi-use venue. There we spent some time watching karaoke and we laughed a bit, but we didn't see any live band in that venue. Venue is very nice.
These Southern Caribbean itineraries are super port intensive, but did you have any sea days on this one?
Nope, no sea days.
Okay. Gotcha. So we'll,
which is
we'll,
great.
Yeah, no, for sure. But before we get to these ports here, I want to ask you, as far as I cannot remember, I felt like there was a sign when I was on board, and there was like either there was a smoking section on Viva, but only certain parts could do it. How was the casino as far as the cigarette smoke situation?
So the casino has you, the casino is on the midship, and it's kind of divided like in three hallways. So you have to go through it, and one of those hallways at the end, it's a room that is the smoking casino area. So you don't, even if you walk through, the middle, you don't smell no cigarettes. It really didn't bother me at all, and my wife is very sensitive to that. She never got bothered by it. So yeah, it's they did a very good job managing the smoke. I think there's another section in the ship that is for smokers, but I don't know. I don't quote me. I saw some people. I kind of smell some, but I could not pinpoint where was that.
Gotcha. Okay. So in the ports of call here, now, because it was so port intensive and you were taking this as a little vacation, are you and the wife more of a get off the ship and let's go explore every single port? Or did you treat some of those port days as a sea day?
We treat most of them as a sea day. My wife works on the school system. So she gets pretty tired. So she said, like, you know what? I want to relax. I need to get ready. I need to relax. And that's what we did. We only got a step off the ship in two of those ports, St. Martin and Barbados.
So you got off in St. Martin and Barbados. So St. Martin, what was the highlight there for y'all?
Mako Beach. Yeah, you got to do it, especially first time the wife been there. So we got to do it. And I'm a airplane fan, so we just went there. It was packed, but it was nice. The day couldn't be prettier, beautiful. We had a lot of nice shots. There, what I really liked about it is the whole beach is set up for you to spend the day. They have a lot of bars right on the sides of the beach that you can the service is fast. We bought a few buckets of beer, and that's where we spend the time. We wanted to spend longer because the ship docked about, I think it was 10. It was leaving at 7. But they told everybody, every passenger, please get back to the ship early because there is a regatta that it was taking in St. Martin. So all the drivers, all the taxi drivers were saying, just go and come back early because the traffic will be horrible and you don't want to miss the ship. So unfortunately, we just spent about 3 hours in Macro Beach and we had to scoot back because we didn't want to miss our ship. So Barbados, we the weather, it was not cooperating. So there was a lot of showers in showers coming in and out. So we were planning on actually going to the beach. We said, you know what? We just step off of the other pier and went to the little convenient area where the shops is at, and we just bought some few souvenirs and we just came back almost shy from getting all drenched and wet. So yeah.
Okay, so you did Barbados and St. Martin, and the other ones you hung out on board and treated it as a sea day. But just out of curiosity, what were those ports?
So it was Tortola. We did St. Lucia. We did St. John and in Antigua. St. Martin, we just said St. Thomas.
Okay.
So whoever wants to actually enjoy the Caribbean, San Juan is the port to go out.
I'm curious then, Victor, like, because you grew up in San Juan, is that something where you're just like, you know what, I think we're going to go to St. Thomas for the day and just catch a ferry or catch a flight over there for the day or the weekend? Like, did you do a lot of that growing up?
Actually, we did not, because we didn't have a boat. There's people who has boats. That's what they do. They just go and spend some time on the little islands that they're around, and they'll hop islands until they get to St. Thomas. You can actually go back and forth in one day in St. Thomas. It's something that Puerto Ricans tend to do.
I remember it was right before the shutdown. It was actually early 2020. I flew down to San Juan to surprise my buddy Tommy for his group cruise. And we didn't tell him, but we were showing up the next day in St. Thomas. We were kind of tracking Adventure of the Seas, the ship he was on at the time. And I was very surprised that it was legitimately in a prop plane, only 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes from the San Juan airport to landing in St. Thomas. It was, I didn't realize it was that close.
Yes, it is. I actually, when I was living in the island for work purposes, I flew from San Juan to St. Croix and back. And it's, yeah, you're right. It's just 20 minutes.
Super close. So you make your way back to San Juan to debark the ship. How was the debark process?
Debark was smooth, very smooth. Same way we get in, same way we got out. They have facial recognition. So you just look at the screen and off you go. They have a pretty well organized process for the buses, taxis, Ubers. And it gets a little bit crowded because the parking lot is not big. After they call our tax, another 15 minutes, mm-hmm. 15 minutes. That's it.
Not bad at all. Did you fly right out?
We did. We booked our flight in the evening of Sunday because we wanted to have Monday off in here in Florida for work purposes and get it adjusted. And that's what we did. So we spent some time again. We spent some time with the family, my mom, my sister, and we went, ate something, went to the beach, went to a nice restaurant, ate very nice cuisine, and got in the plane and left.
Looking back on this cruise, do you have any first time tips to offer anyone who may be considering either sailing that Southern Caribbean itinerary or doing a cruise on Norwegian Viva?
You're going to like the ship. Especially if you are a Norwegian hardcore fan and you have not done the Prima or the Viva, do it. They are a completely different departure of the other ships. And knowing the other hardware that they're about to release on that same style and the same platform, I think they're heading to the right spot and the right way. So yeah, and if you can't do Puerto Rico, you can do San Juan, get out of San Juan and do it from San Juan. You will not regret it.
What was the biggest highlight of this 7-night cruise for you and your wife?
Spending time together. We have four kids, two grandkids. So spending time ourselves together.
A couple questions before we wrap this up. Was the drink package included in this trip for you?
Yes. In the region, we got the free at sea offer and we were able to do all four. We actually even used the air to sea offer, but did not work out. They had us flying the same day of the cruise nonstop, but then on the return, they had us doing one stop in Miami with a 2-hour layover coming back to Orlando at like past midnight. So, and we said, no, that ain't gonna work. So we opted out of that. But yeah, we had the unlimited drinking package that they do for us. It's plenty. It's good. It covered my old fashioned. So as long as that covers that, I'm great.
And as far as, did you grab the Wi-Fi at all on the sailing, or because you were in so many ports, you just kind of used the local land signal?
So my wife, she got the unlimited Wi-Fi because we left our younger teenager at home with the grandparents, and he's autistic. So highly functional with his autistic, he was in school online. So we wanted to keep tabs with him and check on him and review the cameras and everything that was going on at home to make sure he was safe. So she got that package. I used my 150 minutes. And that's it. I just put my work phone to the side, turn it off, never touch it again. And mine just uploaded some pictures if I need to, but I know.
Was she happy with the Starlink speed?
It's decent. I think I got a 1.5, 6, 7 megs.
Oh, one other thing too here, Victor. I didn't even ask you this, and I just totally forgot about this. It's one of the draws of the ship for me. Did you get to race on the go-kart track?
Oh, yes. I did it twice. And it was it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Three decks. I think it's like 12 to 14 turns. It is a lot of fun. We did the $15 one, which you race with other people. And that makes it fun because we were with the best friend's husband, so we were challenging each other. But you can also race by yourself against the clock. And on that one, it's $20, which is not bad. And they do it fully open. They don't restrict the cars. So they restrict, or if they do, I don't know, but they say they don't restrict the cars, so you can go as fast as you can on it. So I think next time we will do that. It's sad that they're gonna take the go-kart track out of the new Aqua.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why it takes a lot of space in the ship. That venue, that go-kart track takes a lot of space, and that's why the top deck pool is small. It's kind of a little bit of cramped. You can call it cramped, but you can call it intimate. So good thing is whenever there's party, there's hanging out, there's music, you see everybody, you interact with everybody, and you got that energy and that vibe. But that go track is big on the back of the ship, but it's amazing. Again, if you can do it, go do it.
I love it. We've been talking with Victor about his cruise out of San Juan, Puerto Rico on Norwegian Viva. Victor, I hope that surprise cruise paid off for you tenfold, buddy.
I think they had.
Good to hear. Talk soon.
Do you have a story or a tip to report? Let us know. Email tips at cruiseradio.net.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got for you, buddy.
Cruise Radio is produced at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Get cruise news, ship reviews, and money-saving tips every Thursday on Cruise Radio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show. If you want to help spread the word, give Cruise Radio a 5-star review. Find Cruise Radio where you listen to your favorite podcast, or online at cruiseradio.net.
I'm your announcer.